What is your favorite image of Jesus? I'd love for after church, as you're going out, if you get a chance, to tell me what that is. Yesterday, a number of us were at Kristen Mills' ordination to the priesthood at Trinity Church, Boston. And the image that keeps turning up in that service, in all ordination services, is the image of the Good Shepherd that takes care of the sheep. And this is a good image for us to hold in our minds, especially if you have heard me say our default image so often is not of the Good Shepherd. Our default image of God is often of a God who is aloof, who is remote, and who from time to time is not pleased with us. So, Good Shepherd, a wonderful image. But like any image, Good Shepherd has its drawbacks. The chief being, it presents Jesus as being outside us, external to us, and gives the impression that he's out here, we're here, and that he doesn't really penetrate inside of us, into our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, our unconscious. And so he can do something for us, but can he do something in us? Can he change our inner reality? How we see ourselves and our fear and our shame and our guilt and our darkness? Can he come inside and replace that vision with his vision of God with us? And in terms of the image of the Good Shepherd, let's be clear about one thing. We're all grown-ups. We aren't cute lambs who have lost our way. We are headstrong, violent people who are self-obsessed, fearful, angry. And each of us has a place inside that must be kept hidden, because what's in there causes other people pain and grief, as well as disturbs and hurts us. And that's why this image of the baptism of Jesus, I think, is so important. Because it shows Jesus wading out into the middle of our dirty bathwater and going all the way under. The people John are baptizing are confessing their sins. They're like they're coughing their sins up out into the water. They're washing off of them. They go into the water dirty and come out clean. Jesus goes in clean and comes out covered with our mess. That's the point of the incarnation. And please notice what Jesus does not do, because I think this is another image that gets in there and we don't notice it. He does not stand on the bank all pristine and clean and saccharine sweet and stainless steel and bulletproof and say, "Oh, you over there, if you'll just get yourself cleaned up and come over here, I'll be glad to help you out of the water." What Jesus does is come into the water to save us. He wades into our drowning pool, if you will, to show that he comes from God not to judge the world, but to save the world. It's like, some of you will remember, the movie Titanic. Near the end, the big ship is sinking, and Jack has been handcuffed to that big pipe down below. The water's rising, and the only way Rose can save him is to go to him and cut him loose. And that's what she does. And Jesus entered our sinking ship the moment he was born. And the next 33 years for him is a journey ever more deeply into humankind's darkness. Until at the very end, the human and demonic violence link up. And we begin torturing him and killing him and rejecting him. Some of you may have heard the title, at least, of Jonathan Edwards' sermon. He was most famous preacher in this country several hundred years ago. The name of the sermon is "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." You heard that? Some of you heard that? You probably haven't read it. It'll take you about an hour to read it. And aren't we glad I'm not up here preaching it? I am. Well, so what Baxter Kruger, he takes a twist on that title, not sinners in the hands of an angry God, but God in the hands of angry sinners. That's what Jesus has given himself for. So whenever you think you have to do something to get God to care about you, Jesus says, hold on. I came to you 2,000 years ago. I entered your darkness and your confusion and brought you into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. You have been forgiven and saved. I entered your depths in order to adopt you into God's family. That's who you are. Don't tell me you have to do something, that it's up to you to get to God, because I have already come to you. To paraphrase the early church, Jesus took on our condition so we will take on his condition. So faith doesn't make any of this happen. Faith simply realizes it has happened and wakes us up to that new reality. So after his baptism, Jesus comes up out of the water, and Mark tells us what the Father thinks about that. Because that's who we're worried about, really, because we're pretty clear Jesus is nice and friendly. But the Father, now that's something else. I was thinking at an 8 o'clock service, if dating in high school, when you had to meet the Father. And then I got to be a father. Yeah, we worry about the Father. So what does the Father think of all this? The first thing it says there is, the Father says, that's my boy. I love what you're doing. That's my boy. Way to go. Way to go. And it tells us the heavens are ripped open. And the Greek word there, that ripped, is the same word used when Jesus is on the cross. And it says the temple curtain was ripped in two. And as we all know, things that are ripped apart are not easily put back together. It's telling us that the thin membrane between heaven and earth, between God's immediate presence and our lives, has been ripped open in the presence of Jesus. And now heaven and earth are one because the Father, Son has joined with our fallen humanity and connects us to the fellowship of God, where God has wanted us to be since the foundation of the world. And then Mark tells us the Holy Spirit entered into Jesus. What you have in front of you says landed on him like a bird on his shoulder. The Greek doesn't say that. The Greek says entered into him. So Jesus, one fully with the Father, Spirit filled, and has our sinful humanity with him. And imagine what, if you will, what that scene between Father and Son must have been like. Do you think as Jesus looked up at his Father, he was worried about the old man? That he might change his mind about Jesus? That this was, the good dad, but the bad dad may show up tomorrow? Do you think he had any of those worries at all? The affection between Father and Son is eternal and flows between them. And so the whole point of the incarnation, why Jesus enters our dirty water, is precisely so he can bring us into that relationship with his Father. So we too can see that affection that isn't going to go away tomorrow or the next day because we've stumbled. So we can hear the word, right? That's my girl. That's my girl. Way to go. That's my boy. Connecting us with that flowing love. Baxter Kruger, who I've been quoting a lot lately, tells a story when his kids were young. In Mississippi, he was sitting on a couch getting ready for a University of Mississippi football game on TV. And he noticed around the corner, he saw his 8-year-old son peer around. And his son's face was covered in, army camouflage paint. And he had on his little army camouflage outfit and his little fake gun, I guess, and whatever. And then he notices another face also made up looking out. And then all of a sudden, they attacked. They attacked the dad, and the war was on. It was a glorious time, and no father ever forgets the joy of that. But after it was over and the boys had left, Baxter realized he did not have a clue who that other boy was. He'd never seen him before in his life. But that little boy had got to share in the relationship between Baxter's son and his dad. And once we realize this is what Jesus has done for the human race, we begin to see everyone from a different perspective. For everyone is included in that work of Christ. You know, if it's all up to us, as sometimes we've been told, to repent our sins first, we're in a world of hurt. For at least two reasons. One, we're too blind to know all our sins. And secondly, we're too broken to confess them fully. How could we ever get good enough to know what to confess or how to confess? So we begin to see what Paul meant when he said, as in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. Not in Christ those who attend the Episcopal Church at 10 o'clock and know the Book of Common Prayer will be made alive in Christ. All will be made alive in Christ. Reminds us what Jesus said to the disciples at the Last Supper. In that day you will know that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So Jesus isn't come to offer us a religious mechanism so we can work our way back to God. And those being baptized today, are not making God love them more because they're going through this sacrament. Rather, they are saying yes to what God in Jesus Christ has already done for them. And they want to know it and to experience that love, that presence, that fellowship. So they're saying yes to what already is. And we can see what that looks like among adults. So in the reading from Acts, you've got this scene. Paul's in Ephesus, never been there. You know, he checks in, as a friend of mine said, he checks into the Holiday Inn, looks on the board, oh, disciples worshiping 10 o'clock, and he shows up, a little group of 12 of them, and they start worshiping, and Paul's so excited. And then he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? You know why he said that? Because their worship was so boring. Their worship was so, it was like they were working hard to get somewhere, trying, oh, we're going to really work at this so God will come down or we can go up. And they said, well, no, we have never heard of the Holy Spirit. We were baptized into John's baptism. And he said, oh, well, that explains it. So he tells them about Jesus, death and resurrection. They tells him about the Father's love. And they want to be baptized into that. We want to know that. And they baptize him, those 12. And then we got to, this may make us nervous as Episcopalians, but then it says, Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. If you want, you can translate that. They really started to enjoy their worship. Because they're not earning something now. They're just thanking the Papa for loving them. Life also becomes a lot more fun seen through this lens. And so, hear it, allow yourself the faith to hear those words that the Father spoke to Jesus. That's my girl. That's my boy. Amen.